Who with it now? You know, you couldn't keep away. You know, he had to be back in here. It is the Pride of Detroit podcast, the PODcast. Here in your ears, the audio version of PrideOfDetroit.com. Each week, we take our talents from the written word to the spoken word and bring it to you here. PrideOfDetroit.com, at PrideOfDetroit on Twitter, PrideOfDetroit on Facebook. Search for us on iTunes. We are there. 11 ratings, 5 stars. We are awesome. We're great. We're fantastic. And here we are. Dynamic duo again, but instead of Jeremy this time, it's myself, Chris Lemieux, at Malkovich Plan on Twitter, with editor and fantasy guru Ryan Matthews, at Ryan_POD.
That's where you can find me. Thank you. Thank you, Chris, for the nice introduction.
Yeah, I finally remembered your Twitter handle, so that's good. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well. You know, It's been a nice little week. I had a snow day today, so you know you can never complain about a snow day. How's the weather down there in Toledo?
About the same. That's the thing with Toledo. It's always about the same as Detroit, except like a little, like a degree warmer. That's it, really. Yeah.
Well, hopefully we're turning the corner here.
Hopefully.
I see 50-degree weather in the future, so.
I was watching Tigers broadcast today.
Yes.
Down in Lakeland.
A little bit of that today too. Yeah.
Are they? They were in Tampa or Lakeland? I forget which, because they were playing the Yankees.
Yeah, I think they were in Tampa.
Yeah, and I was just like, "Damn." Because I used to live in Savannah, and I am so used to the warm weather. Like, as soon as you get out of February, it's like, okay, I can start thinking about t-shirts again.
T-shirts and shorts and
I've never been big on shorts, but. We don't have a mailbag question dealing with that, so I don't think we could divert there.
Perfect. We'll wait to get to shorts.
We do have two things. This is a slow week for the Lions. We're going to try to talk some Lions via your mailbag. Here, as always, drop us a comment on Pride of Detroit every week before we do the podcast. We'll drop a Ask POD thread. Or you can just leave it when we call for it on Twitter at Pride Detroit or at Malkovich Plan. But we want to start here because Pride Detroit's going places in culture. We are getting big time. And Ryan, you've been busy educating the future of America, the future of the great state of Michigan.
Yeah, maybe not so well, but I've been trying. It's my first year.
It's a thought that counts.
Right, yeah. It's the effort.
Yes. The effort. Good job, good effort.
Yeah.
But you've missed the two things, and I think we should start on the... Do you want to start on the pizza war, or do you want to start on the drinking game?
Well, I know a little bit about the drinking game, so let's start with the pizza war first.
Okay, so for those of you who might have missed it on Twitter, which... This was a very small thing that happened, but I feel like we need to let the Pride of Detroit Nation, the PODN, the POD Nation know... The POD universe, to use a WWE term, know about what happened on Twitter on, what was it, Saturday? Sunday?
It was over the weekend. Yeah. I know that.
So Kurt Mensching, and if you don't know that name, he is one of the editors over at Bless You Boys, the Tigers blog for SB Nation. Shout out. We had Hookslide on the last podcast. It was a fantastic conversation about both baseball and football. His first year experiences being a football fan. You should definitely go listen to it after you finish listening to this podcast. But Kurt Mensching was talking about how in the Bless You Boys Slack room, which is like, if you don't know what Slack is, it's like a chat room for the modern world, for like working groups. We have one for Pride of Detroit. It's where we cook up all of our inside jokes that you hear on the podcast. And their Slack room was being destroyed by a war over, quote, erupting into civil war over Detroit area pizza options. Ooh. Yeah.
And there's quite a few of them, right?
Yeah. Most of them apparently, Kurt himself and a few others are all about Buddy's Coney Pizza.
Buddy's Coney Pizza.
Yeah, Buddy's over Buddy's, which is like, that's like Detroit. Like, that's like... We're talking like super local that they were arguing about.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I have partaken in the Buddy's Pizza. It's good.
Yeah, it's very good. Now, I like a lot of pizza papoulas myself, but that's me.
Yep.
But
another great option when you're in
Greek options.
Town.
Absolutely. But we have a pizza here at Pride Detroit that I think unites us, all of us, because I'm in Toledo. You're kind of in west-ish Michigan yourself.
Yeah, southeastern Michigan, actually.
Oh, are you? Okay.
Yeah,
I'm
Auburn Hills area, so.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Alex gave me the impression that you were kind of out more towards Grand Rapids. I could have been wrong.
Yeah, you might. Well, actually, I was there over the past weekend. I went to go check out a Griffins game.
Is our
buddy Kyle Yost, is he out west? I think so.
I think he's like about Ann Arbor or so. Kyle, let us know if you're listening to this. And then Alex is, he's kind of Auburnish Hills area himself. He's kind of like east of Detroit a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say, if you ping Kyle Yost right now in the Slack app, he'll probably come chiming in right now.
I don't want to do that because this keyboard is really loud. Like every time I try to type on this keyboard, it gets picked up by my microphone.
Shout
it's a mechanical
out Kyle
keyboard.
Yost, though. Yeah,
shout out Kyle.
Because if you ping him in the Slack app whenever we need an article edited, and I'm always way too busy during the days, he'll be in there within seconds.
Kyle does a lot of work behind the scenes. He publishes no articles for Pride Detroit, but know that like 80% of what we write, he has a hand in it. He makes sure that we don't wild out.
Oh, make sure that you don't wild out. And I've never seen anybody complain about anything grammatically on the website.
No,
so.
No.
Shout out, Kyle Yost.
Yeah, shout out. That earns you a drink, by the way, but we'll get to that in a second.
Yes.
But so that's all of us. Like, we've got, you know, East Central Michigan. We've got on down to Toledo. We've got this kind of little curious area we have. But the one thing that unites us is Jet's Pizza. It's a big chain now. Jet's is like, I think I looked up, they're in like 15 states or so.
I didn't know that they were that big.
Yeah, they've got places out in like Texas. Austin.
They've crossed the Mississippi?
Yes, they've crossed the Mississippi. They are growing.
Wow, impressive.
And as you will see here, they're still expanding, and maybe they might make it to Jeremy Reisman out in Southern California. But we love Jets.
I'm sure Jeremy's waiting on pins and needles.
Like, look, we're shouting it out right now because we really want, after what happened on Sunday, we want Jets to sponsor us. Jets, if you're listening right now, we'll tag you in all of our tweets. We want you to sponsor this podcast. We are getting 4,000 some hits a day now.
I will talk about your deep dish barbecue chicken pizza every single podcast.
Buffalo chicken ranch deep dish for me.
Whatever.
Boats.
Sounds great too.
The deli boats. If you've never had one of their pizza boats or deli boats, oh my God.
And if you don't order turbo crust, you're doing it wrong.
Yeah, if you're ordering the round crust, I appreciate what they're trying to do. They have like a Brooklyn-style pizza now, but
yeah. We're
all about the Detroit deep dish here.
Always.
Always. So that's what we chimed in. I said, look, we stand by Jet's Pizza. It is United Pride of Detroit. We don't have these frantic battles like Bless You Boys does, because we all believe in pizza over everything, although we have a few. No, Ryan? Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah, remember, I'm wings over everything.
Yeah, you're team wing, but you appreciate pizza.
Exactly, so even though I am team wing over everything, I am the wing enthusiast
of the
Pride of Detroit staff. I can definitely agree that Jets is the pizza place to go.
All three of us have mutual respect for each other's choice, I think is the right thing. Because we all love subs. We all love pizza. We all love wings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
And we all love Jets because of that. And we just chimed in with that. So immediately after I chimed in with that, with we here at Pride Detroit stand by Jets Pizza uniting us, hashtag let's get Jets, they retweet me. And then so Jeremy has to go on, and he does this. This is Jeremy's mistake. He did it from the official Pride of Detroit account and said, please, Jets Pizza, come to L.A. Everyone here pretends to love California Pizza Kitchen. We all secretly hate it. Gets two reactions. The first one's from Jets Pizza, who says directly to us, we're expanding. Hopefully we'll get there eventually, which
was
is great news.
Was there a smiley face in that, too?
Yes, there was an emoji.
Yes. Okay.
So Jets.
The emojis speak volumes.
Yes, they do. Jets is coming to L.A. I think we can breaking news here first on Pride of Detroit podcast. Jets is coming to L.A. The second tweet is from CPK, California Pizza Kitchen.
Have you ever partaken in the CPK yourself, Chris?
I have, yes. Actually, I've had it in Phoenix a few times. I used to go to Phoenix like every December or so, my extended family would take trips when I was young down to Phoenix, to Glendale, to Scottsdale. I don't remember what for, but it was a very nice place. I have very good memories of the greater Phoenix area and some of the cool stuff that's around there. I enjoy Phoenix.
Right. Huge distinction, though, between actually going to California Pizza Kitchen's restaurant and getting a California Pizza Kitchen out of your
like a local frozen pizza
freezer.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Big difference, because there's one in Royal Oak that I've been to a couple times.
I've never been big on their pizza, though.
Yeah. Not a big fan. I mean, if you're going thin crust, it's a pretty good option.
Yeah, but it's not, I mean, but I don't really like thin crust to begin with, so it's tough.
Yeah.
So they say, CBK, because apparently this is what you need to know about Twitter in 2016. The brands are always listening.
They're always looking for that chance to become a meme.
Yeah, yeah, like, God, like the Oscars. Like, they were like, I saw someone retweeting a bunch of things that brands were doing to try to tag themselves in the Oscars. Like, Little Debbie snack cakes were like, they were doing these ridiculous posts of their treats dressed up for the Oscars, for the red carpet. And I'm just, I've got to feel bad for whoever has to do those jobs, who has to represent the brands on Twitter. Some brands
unless you're having a lot of fun with it. When you're doing corny stuff like that to drive
like
yourself in the discussion. Yeah.
Like Whataburger. Whataburger has a very good brand on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Whataburger is like a Texas fast food chain or so, but they usually do pretty good on the memes. Funny enough, Sonic the Hedgehog's Twitter account. Very big on the memes, too. There is a lot of talk about how they lost their mind. But California Pizza Kitchen reached out to us and said, quote, "Well, that's a bummer. Please feel free to DM us. We'd love to hear how we can make that love real." To Jeremy saying that everyone secretly hates CBK.
Wounded lover.
Very wounded. They didn't do an emoji, but they did kind of that, like, half frowny face thing that's like a proto-emoji.
Oh, with like the back.
Yeah, it's not actually like a graphic emoji, but it's like a text emoji.
Oh, throwing it back.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wow. Okay, California Pizza Kitchen. I don't know. Did Jeremy respond to either of them, or did he just let them?
I think we favorited, both of us favorited Jets. I don't know if we favorited California Pizza Kitchen.
And so, I cannot confirm nor deny whether or not Jeremy DM'd California Pizza Kitchen back.
I don't see that Jeremy follows California Pizza Kitchen from the Pride of Detroit account.
Not a good look. Not a good look.
No, but you know what? Here's the difference. Jets only has like 3,800 followers. CBK has 33,000 followers. Like, California Pizza Kitchen is going to be okay on the social media. They're going to be fine.
They'll be fine. Mm-hmm.
Jets, though, needs to expand out, because that's the other thing.
3,300 followers? That's it?
3,800. Like, about, actually, like, 8 away from 3,900. That's
so, like, what, like, a fourth of the followers that Pride of Detroit has?
Yeah, pretty much. We have more followers than Jets by magnitudes.
That's bizarre.
Man, I want some Jets right now.
I could go for some Jets pizza.
Let's get Jets.
Hashtag.
Yeah, hashtag. Yeah, exactly. All right, we're going to take a very quick break here. We're going to come back and tell you about the other thing that's been popping at Pride of Detroit, tell you about the brand new drinking game, and we might get into some Lions talk, too. Okay, continuing on here on the Pride of Detroit podcast, very light week. Like, the Combine's over. I've already excoriated the Combine. I hate it. Ryan, you've watched, like, 5 minutes of it, and it was mostly 5 minutes of that guy's junk falling out.
Yeah, I mean, what an embarrassing job interview. That has to be, like, top three worst job interviews of all time. Ranking right up there Will Ferrell and why am I blanking on his name? Step Brothers with a tuxedo. John C. Reilly.
Oh, John C. Reilly. Okay,
They wear tuxedos to the job interview to be custodians.
Right. And that was, yeah. I don't know if it's job interviews, but every time I watch, like, Zach Galifianakis in Between Two Ferns, I'm just cringing at the whole thing.
Yeah, did you see of awkwardness that just wells up in like the pit of your stomach?
Right, especially in the first one he did, which was like with President Barack Obama.
Oh, I know.
And that was just Barack Obama, like, you know, cursing him out to his face.
Great segments, though.
It's a fantastic thing. It's
yeah.
really good comedy. You know what's some good comedy, too? We have a drinking game now.
We have a drinking game.
Between
I could not believe this.
Between a drinking game and dictating the fate of pizza franchises, we are moving up. Pride of Detroit is moving up there. What other blogs... Look, what other SB Nation-affiliated blogs can do this? Like, I'm sure maybe they might have some drinking games, but are they... You know, swaying the balance of pizza in the United States? No, they're not.
Like, I don't think they're taking pizza chains from the Midwest to the West Coast,
yeah,
the Gold Coast. I don't think they're doing that. They're not making moves like we are.
Is Blogging the Boys doing this? No. Is Bleeding Green Nation doing this? Maybe. I don't think so.
Esperino.
Windy City Gridiron? No.
We own them, so
we own the Bears.
So they're probably just gonna follow what we do.
We are running this nation. We are running this SB nation.
We're the youth of the nation, so we're, I mean,
We are. I actually removed that as our intro song. It's now Bulls on Parade by Rage Against the Machine.
I did notice that, which is, I think POD is Rage Against the Machine adjace.
I just didn't think that POD, as much as I love the pun, it just didn't fit us that well, you know?
No, Bulls on Parade is a great song. Also, Bulls on Parade is the inspiration for Stone Cold Steve Austin's theme music by Jim Johnston.
Sure.
That.
Ah, little WWE knowledge there. And we're not even talking...
Segue into the drinking game.
Segue as we are. You have to take a shot of Flint water or something. God. Let's talk about... So, very wonderful user. Way by 51... on February 26th, wrote a fan post. And you can write fan posts to us at any point on prideofdetroit.com. Let your voice be heard.
Yeah, we encourage it.
We absolutely encourage it. He wrote their rules for the podcast, the PODcast drinking game. We have a drinking game now. So we're just going to go over them right now. And again, we encourage you to look up his rules and maybe go and expand on them. But here's some of the ones he gives us. So, one drink is anytime someone says hot take, which we tend to do.
Yeah, I'm trying to think back. We do that pretty often, don't we?
Not too often. We don't do
not
it.
Not too often.
No, but
we
like we characterize things as hot takes when they're usually not that hot of a take.
Right. When they're usually bad takes, we call them hot takes.
Yeah, sure.
Kind of as like an ironic thing, like a jab. Yeah.
Yeah, sure. What's not ironic is all the shout outs we do. So, if we say shout out from now on, you have to shout out the name of the person and then take a drink.
How many times did we do that last segment?
Three.
Kyle Yost, Jets Pizza. I mean, the list goes on and on. You're going to be
we
shouting
did not
out a
shout
lot
out
of random things.
We did not shout out California Pizza Kitchen.
No, because we don't do that.
No, we're kind of either. We're kind of just, okay.
Yeah.
Look, bad look, CBK.
Bad look.
All right, so another drink and an ice cube if someone changes the topic to a non-football sport, which we tend to do. Not during the season too much, but like during the off-season, we will be doing that a lot. Because
especially in these upcoming couple of weeks for a specific reason,
well,
yes.
I think next week not as much because we'll actually have free agency and something to talk about, but I'm just not a guy...
We're always talking football. We're always talking
football.
We love football.
We love football, but sometimes...
That's why we come together.
But sometimes we diverge from football. Especially in wrestling, and he puts in here two things. If the sport is professional wrestling, the ice cube should be made from Flint City water. So this guy is not a fan of professional wrestling, to which we can say...
I'm disgusted.
We can say, you can't see me.
That we can say that. The other thing we can say is that just because you put sport in quotation marks when describing professional wrestling, it doesn't offend me. You cannot offend me. When you do things like that, okay? You can try to get under my skin, act like I wasn't going to see this Way Bay 51, but it's fine. Have your own opinions on wrestling that you want, your own bad hot takes.
You know, we're not the only football blog out there who loves WWE. Shout out to Big Cat Country. All of their writers for the Jaguars love professional wrestling.
That's what we do, though, because we're one big cat family.
Yeah. Okay? Cat Team Brotherhood. Shout out to Cat Team Brotherhood. That's two more shout outs for you. He also adds, you can decide not to drink And if someone on the podcast can relate the sport back to football or Lions within 3 minutes. Which, yeah, you can do that. You can do that.
Yeah, I don't feel like we go off on too many, like, tangents like that where we at least don't bring it back in some way, shape, or form.
No, and even on the baseball one I was doing with Hook Slide, we brought it back to football all the time. That's what we do.
How can you have Hook Slide on the podcast and not expect to talk about baseball? Like, when up the podcast to listen to it, get ready for some baseball, man. Hook Slide's on.
Yeah, absolutely.
And don't act like just because you listen to the Pride of Detroit podcast, we love talking football, like I have mentioned before. But we also, we're going to talk about other things just because people are interested in more than just football.
Yeah, yeah, we're not just football people. We are sports people. We are culture movers. We are the shapers of America's culture.
We're moving pizza west, folks.
If a topic is presented to get an opinion from everyone on the podcast, for each person who has skipped, forgotten, or has no opinion, pass your drink to the left. After drinks have been passed, take one drink. Do I really forget that many people?
No, actually you don't. I think that it's more often, which usually I'll be lined up at the end of everybody's take, and I'll just say,
good
everybody's
take.
Everyone's
got an opinion. You'll be the neutral guy there.
Yeah, usually I am the I'm the Switzerland of the group.
Sure. Commercial break. So on a commercial break, you have to thank the sponsor. Usually, I've noticed we tend to have a lot of Tim Hortons or a lot of Geico sponsoring us. That might change. But he also says that you can also. Jets, maybe, soon. We'd love to live read you, Jets. 4,000 downloads a day. 4,000 downloads a day.
That's us?
Yeah.
Wow, that many people listen to us.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'll fill you in those details after this. Also, he says sometimes the sponsor could be your drink, too. So he gives an example of Labatt Blue. Which, Labatt Blue, if you want to sponsor us, Labatt Blue, we would be honored to.
Look, I'd be more than honored to. Okay, I would put a Labatt Blue advertisement on my car and drive it around town
like NASCAR.
Oh wait, hold on. I think that's that brings us into like Jeremy's. That's me being a bad role model driving a car with a beer advertisement.
Yeah. Okay. So we might as well like there is a couple other rules here about obscure references that have nothing to do with sports. The state of Michigan, granted, that tends to mostly be me, and then the winner is whoever can sing the most words of the outro bumper, which is the John Cena music. But Jeremy suggested a bunch of new rules that we need to add in here. So, drink if there's any food talk. So, you probably just drank for a good 15 minutes if you were following this.
Yep.
Finish the drink if Reno has a bad food take, which, for someone who started pizza over everything, it's uncomfortably too many bad food takes.
Like, if we can, like, can you give me an example of what Reno's career has been ever since? Like, give me like the.
It's been bad. Like, this is like,
yeah, give me the football player equivalent of Reno's rookie season, which would have been him starting pizza over everything, and now everything has just tumbled down. Like, I almost think he's like the Robert Griffin III.
Yeah, I was about to say RG3 is a good one. If you hadn't thrown in a rookie, I would have said Matt Flynn. Who gets like does one good thing and gets a contract on it?
One good thing and
against the Lions.
Yeah. So Reno brought pizza over everything, and then since then it's been bad food take after bad food take after what didn't he like at Thanksgiving? It was something.
He
doesn't like stuffing or something.
That's right. But I think also Jeremy didn't like stuffing. Not liking, but it was something else, too, that just really offended me. I think it was like the sweet potatoes.
That might have been me.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry.
But no, that's fine.
He didn't like green bean casserole, which for that he deserves to be smacked up.
I've never had green bean casserole, but we're not trying to get back into Thanksgiving leftovers.
Sorry.
3 months after the fact. So let's see. Drink if Jeremy shows us Michigan homerism, which happens a lot on this podcast. He loves the Go Blue.
Yeah. Speaking of which, it costs us a ton of money in FanDuel, but I'll digress from that.
Yeah, you haven't really had your chance to address him on that.
Fitzgerald Toussaint.
Anytime Southern Chris shows up, take a shot and bite into a peach. Pro tip, don't bite into a peach if it's wintertime. Peaches around here tend to be really mealy. Instead, just go and get yourself some Southern Comfort. Do a SoCo shot or something. And yeah, Southern Chris will show up. It tends to have a bit of a problem where we just kind of show up every now and then. Drink every time Jeremy has a mic drop moment. So that's when Jerry is on the podcast and anytime he speaks. And then, of course, drink anytime Ryan is being a bad role model for his students.
I don't think that happens all that often. But what does happen pretty often is the last rule that you read off. Jeremy having mic drop moments. I mean, that happened quite a few times.
Jerry knows what he's talking about. Shout out Jerry.
Jerry always comes with the wisdom. Strapped. Dual holsters. Six shooters. Full of wisdom.
Do we have any other things we could maybe add to this? I feel like we've got to add some when we get to the season itself. Actually talk about Lions.
Yeah, I mean, once we get to Lion season, there are probably a few more that we're going to notice or that even maybe some of you notice. So feel free to add on to Way Bay 51's drinking game.
Sure.
I think we have enough here that if you are actually taking this game seriously, depending on what you're drinking, you might want to make sure that A, you're not operating a motor vehicle, and B, it's the weekend and you don't have anything to do the next day.
Yeah,
other
absolutely.
Than recover.
Kind of like what it wasn't the weekend, but I was certainly recovering after last night.
As long as your next day you didn't have much to do, you're good.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Do we have any lines to talk about before we get into this mailbag?
We have a lion to talk about. If you want to keep talking about him, Calvin Johnson.
I feel like we've talked enough about Calvin Johnson. Just at this point, we just need to know what's going to happen. It feels like this situation just keeps lingering and no one's sure. Like, I don't know what the silence means. I absolutely do not. But I do know that Dave Burkett from the Free Press, he put out something. I hadn't heard this before. A story of one of Calvin Johnson's friends going to him and saying, hey, would it make a bit of a difference if you went and played for the Falcons or something? He says, no, it's not about what team I'm playing for. It's just about that I'm hurt. So I think, but I just find that interesting because there's still people out there pushing he wants to retire and it's easier to retire because it's the Lions. And if it was any other team, he wouldn't be doing this.
Yeah, I mean, I've read quite a few people who have had that, have taken that stance and said, you know, we wouldn't be having this discussion about Calvin Johnson right now if he was a Green Bay Packer.
I mean,
if he was a New England Patriot, we'd be talking about this 5 or 6 years from now, in his mid-30s. But
it's a conventional NFL media trope, absolutely.
It's a moot point. Because he doesn't play for those teams. Guess what? He plays for the Lions. So
yeah, but I think at the same time, too, I think if he was this hurt and was any other team, he'd be thinking about retirement at this age, too. We're seeing it with a lot of other guys as well.
Yeah, this isn't the first go-round.
Yeah.
Like, he's not breaking any ground that, like, Patrick Willis hasn't already, Jared Mayo. The list goes on and on.
Yeah, I listed all those guys off when I last wrote about him, too. Yeah. Like, just kind of fascinates me. And there's a lot of questions, I think, going on about free agency and what Bob Quinn's going to do. But I think at this point, like, first year GM, like, what can you really expect right now? Like, what can any of us expect for him to do?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of uncharted territory. You know, we've the past few off seasons have been, Mayhew and company, and I think really when it comes to Calvin Johnson's silence, when it comes to what Bob Quinn's going to do in free agency, these are all things that are just speculation. It's all pure speculation. Sure. until things happen, until Calvin Johnson says I'm done, or until Bob Quinn, makes his first signing, which shows us maybe what his top priority is, then we can start to, actually formulate some opinions and thoughts on it. But up until then, it's just all pure speculation.
Well, Rod Wood, when he went on 105.1 in Detroit, he did kind of reveal the priorities, which is offensive line and defense. But granted, that's kind of
those
the
are
blueprint.
No-brainers, right?
Yeah, those are the blueprints for you. Well, first off, it's what we've known about this team forever, that the defense is aging and the offensive line isn't very good. But at the same time, too, those are both cores for, every team out there. So right. I don't know. It'll be fascinating to watch because I don't know as much about that side of free agency. Like I've been looking them up, but there's also a lot of guys there who are like, I know the Lions have cleared a ton of cap space right now, but what can you really afford while looking forward with every other contract that you have to handle and all the guys you need to re-sign and the rookie money and everything else? You know, I don't know if the Lions really are going to go and make a giant splash. But if you're looking to understand the cap, though, Jeremy Cape, Jeremy 2, as I like to call him, because he's not Jeremy Prime. But Jeremy Cape put together a great kind of bit of analysis, kind of showing you, he broke down the cap commitments, what kind of tiers exist among free agents that get bought. Like, it's some very good stuff. So go read that if you want to really kind of get an idea of what's coming up.
Yeah.
So it's starting soon enough, too.
Right. I have a question for you about Calvin Johnson, Chris. So do you believe that he just hasn't made a decision because he wants to be cut? I know that's a question that's kind of just floating around all of the airwaves. Like, you know, does Calvin Johnson want to be cut by the Lions rather than announce retirement?
I think any question like that, and whether he's angling to get traded or any other variation of that question, has to come back to this idea. Do people believe that Calvin Johnson is that sort of person to kind of try to do that kind of a move to get out of Detroit? And if he's that kind of person to think about extra football, even though he has said every other time someone's got a quote out of him that he's said that his body and his everything about him just hurts. Like, I think people haven't really done the calculus because he hasn't had that many season-ending injuries, so people just assume he's still healthy. They're not really looking at the week-to-week pain he's had to play through in the past and how much... I keep saying this. He was taking 2 Vicodin every Sunday in his rookie year to play football for the Lions. Like, this is someone who, for nearly his entire professional football career, has equated the game to playing with pain in his body. Like, psychologically, that takes a toll on you. Not losing or anything. I'm sure that works in there, but that kind of association of pain absolutely matters. It might even matter more so than a season-ending concussion like what Rasheen Mathis had.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think some people aren't really doing the calculus because that's something different. Guys can understand if your ACL tears and you're out for a season and then you're pretty much done after that. Guys can understand if you have a concussion that's bad enough that puts you on a season-ending IR. They can't understand all this pain and playing through the pain and then saying the pain's too much, because the guys who do play through the pain in the past have all kind of stuck around the game. Calvin Johnson is a deviation from that. He's talking about, I've played through this pain for 9 years, and I don't want to do it anymore.
Totally fair. And I mean, I don't think that anything, like when you talk about, you know, doing the math, you know, kind of figuring out, like, just, you know, what he has said, any kind of quotes that have been pulled from him, even before really retirement became a talking point, even at the trade deadline when he said, you know what, I don't want to be traded. If I'm winning anywhere, I want to win Detroit. So I don't think that anything Calvin Johnson is either saying or not saying because of the silence when he hasn't, you know, announced whether or not he's going to retire. I don't take him for a person who is committing any kind of like underhandedness. Like he's not trying to, you know, we can speculate about who his agent is and how his agent was Brett Favre's agent too, and how, you know, that can help us read the tea leaves and see that Calvin Johnson's ready to try to just get out of his contract and have the Lions cut him so we can go join another team. I just can't buy that, because everything about Calvin Johnson, his entire career, has led me to believe that he's a stand-up guy who...
Sure, and who would...
Whatever, take the time.
Yeah, and who would even be the team that would take him, too? Like, who out there is going to be the team that would take him? Because everyone says, oh, the Patriots. The Patriots don't work that way. Just because it happened with Randy Moss, I don't think it's just you see any aging superstar, just say, oh, but just plug him in with the Patriots, he'll go get a ring. That's not how reality works. It's
no,
not.
How many rings did Randy Moss win with the Patriots?
He got, like, 1, yeah.
I think 0, right?
Oh, did he? I thought he won a ring.
They lost,
with
They lost to the Giants the year Eli Manning, you know, Tyree catch. So
sure.
I mean, what? So,
but
you know,
like, yeah, and the, but then not even looking at him, just looking at every other team out there, like, where would he go? Like, again, he already turned down the idea of going to play with the Falcons, and that's his hometown team. He's from that Atlanta metro, like, North Georgia area. Mm-hmm. Like, if he's saying no about the Falcons, where are you expecting him to go? Because he ain't going to go to Dallas. He ain't going to go to... I don't think L.A. is going to be good for a good long while. Shout out to the Rams, by the way, who've just signed an extension on Derek Fisher.
Jeff Fisher,
I'm sorry.
I wouldn't be surprised if they tried to offer a contract to Derek Fisher. He's out of a job, so...
Yeah, shout out Derek Fisher. No, to Jeff Fisher, Eternal 8-8, that's going to be your coach in L.A., so have fun with that.
Yeah, have a great time with that. But yeah, so all things Calvin Johnson, maybe we can just put a doomsday clock on the masthead at Pride of Detroit for the date that everybody's kind of floating around is what, March 9th? Because
that's the start of the free agency.
So yeah. I don't know.
We'll talk about it more on the next podcast, because the next podcast is probably going to fall somewhere around the 9th in recording.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, I am of the ilk that thinks that, you know, Calvin, you know, he should make up his mind relatively soon. I don't belong to the camp that says, well, you need to prove that with new management and a new, new team president and everything, you need to go out here and you need to impose a deadline on him to make his decision. No, you don't. I mean, you have plenty of cap space. You know, plan as if he's not going to be there.
I find it fascinating because I was just talking with a friend of mine the other night about the difference between like American and European leagues, because one of my favorite soccer clubs in Europe, Roma, they have a legend on their roster called Francesco Totti, who is like he's like one of the premier modern legends of Italian soccer and everything. He's a very personable man, but he's not really playing that much. And I think we saw this in U.S. soccer when Jurgen Klinsmann came over here. The difference is saying, like, you know, in Europe, we don't coddle aging superstars like you do with Kobe Bryant. Like, you know, if a guy's not producing as well, or if a guy's holding up something for the better that's detrimental to the team, then we're not going to let sentiment rule it. So I'm kind of caught between that, because that makes sense in a very cold kind of team first mentality when it comes to these things. And if you're in Bob Quinn's shoes, yeah, you want an answer from Calvin Johnson right bleeping now. Best you can. But at the same time, too, we are still Americans, and we still kind of have that reverence for certain superstars who are in those predicaments. But the thing is, too, is like, we're both fans here. We're not front office people. We're not part of the front office. I think a lot of fans get that confused. You're not part of the actual team itself like that, right? Like, you're not representing that. So being very passionate about a certain angle kind of doesn't make too much sense to me.
I agree.
All right, let's take a break here, and then when we come back, we're going to get to the mailbag. We got a lot of good questions. As always, we close out the podcast here, prideofdetroit.com. We close it out with the mailbag. All your questions brought to us on prideofdetroit.com. Look for the Ask POD articles that go up every day when we're recording. I can't really say every, like, given day. We should probably set those on a certain date so people know when to look on Pride of Detroit for them, in case you're that kind of a person. We also take your questions on Twitter, too. We're going to start here with Underdog from the comments on PrideDetroit.com, and this one's for you, Ryan, as the fantasy editor at at Pride of Detroit. Who's your top rookie sleeper pick in fantasy for 2016?
Ooh, we're gonna title this the Jeremy Reisman question of the week, because I'm sure he's gonna be super excited to hear both the question and my answer for this.
Sure.
So let's see. Well, if you're playing in an individual defensive player league, like an IDP league, like I do.
Oh God! Wait, you play? I didn't realize you played an IDP league.
No, no, absolutely not. I did that once back in high school. I think I drafted Brian Urlacher.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Oh, wow. We own the Bears. That's awful. Bad thoughts. A rookie. Oh boy.
So this is gonna be someone who's gonna be going in the draft.
Right. Yeah. So I can't default to Alex Reno. How about that wide receiver from Ole Miss?
Oh,
Treadwell, right?
Yeah, Laquon Treadwell. You think he's gonna be a breakout?
Yeah, he'll be a breakout when he's playing for the Detroit Lions.
There you go. I just know IDP, I would not go for Joey Bosa. By the way, shout out to all these people who are like comparing Joey Bosa now to people were like down on Joey Bosa after seeing his combine grades, and then someone said, well, he had the exact same combine scores as JJ Watt. Now everyone's saying Joey Bosa is gonna be the new JJ Watt. Which is patently ridiculous. But
which I'm sure made you so happy, Chris. The biggest J.J. Watt fan in Pride of Detroit, right?
But, I mean, even being fair to J.J. Watt, that's a ridiculous thing to say about Joey Bosa. And I think it was Bomani Jones had some great points that Joey Bosa just isn't a five tool. This isn't baseball, but he's not like a five-way defensive player. Like, he's never played in a 3-4.
Yeah, so he lacks the versatility to play all over the field.
Yeah, like he can't play. Yeah. That's one of J.J. Watt's biggest strengths. And people saying that he's the next J.J. Watt are missing that point, that he's not as versatile to do what J.J. Watt does. So,
Joey Bosa going to line up in tight end formation on the goal line? Is that ever going to happen? No.
Wait, I thought J.J. Watt was actually quarterback in that situation. He was quarterback.
Shut the front door. Wait, in the playoffs he did that?
Yes. In that wild card round where Kansas City absolutely demolished.
He was a tight end, wasn't he?
No, he took the snap. He was at quarterback.
Oh wow, I think my brain selectively decided it was another memory because it was another
it was another big defensive player for Houston.
Vince Wilfork,
yes. He was at tight end.
Why hasn't Bill O'Brien lost his job?
Because he doesn't have a quarterback or whatever. Even though Houston's had so many chances to draft a quarterback, and I said pass every time. And now they're stuck at 18th or whatever in this draft, and there's not enough quarterbacks for them to really get anything good.
Connor Cook!
Yeah, or Carson Wentz or something, I don't know. Sam Bradford just signed an outrageous deal with the Eagles, which is just showing you what the free agent quarterback market's going to look like.
23 million dollars guaranteed.
Stupid. So stupid.
Ridiculous.
So goddamn stupid.
Got another question for me, Chris?
Yeah, we got plenty of questions. Let me find some here. Let's see here. JBDET asks, does the NFL need a spring feeder league? He's asked this question a few times before, but I don't know if we've seen this before, but the idea of a spring feeder league, so the idea of having like a minor league farm system that played in the spring, kind of like the old USFL.
Yeah, okay, so... So essentially it would consist of like guys from practice squad?
Yeah, or at least like
in a way?
Yeah, but I mean like maybe something like the D League or minor league baseball where you can squirrel guys away, you know, you're expanding the draft or something, and rather than constantly having to cut guys because of a, you know, 53-man roster or whatever, you can actually have your own feeder league spring ball roster or something to keep a lot of guys around and then call them up come the fall.
I mean, I feel like this is an idea that ESPN definitely shouldn't catch wind about because I'm sure they would be just infatuated with the idea of having football on TV.
Well, I mean, that's why they go after the CFL and arena, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. I really don't have an opinion on it.
I think at this point, even if you're going to do something that's like challenging, like I see a bunch of leagues try to start up in the hopes of becoming the minor league for the NFL, like A11 or the new version of USFL, where I think FX, what is it, the FXDL or experimental development league or whatever. Like, there's a bunch of guys who are trying, but the problem is that's always going to stop it, is that the owners are just too greedy. The owners just, they want to take in as much money as they can, as evinced by, what was that? That they basically, like, skimmed, like, $100 million or so off the top last year.
Is it from ticket revenue that they
that was supposed to be originally,
like, some kind of, like, gate expense or something?
Yeah, for, like, stadium development expense or something. That was originally earmarked for sharing with the players' union. Like, these guys make it their job to find money in a Scrooge McDuck fashion.
Yeah, and
but they don't spend money.
Right, and I love how the Players Association brings us up to Goodell and the owners, and they're like, hey, like, we're going to sue you guys about this. And they're like, all right, go ahead. Get your legal team together. It's like, what?
Yeah, yeah.
So even when they do get caught red-handed, it's like, all right, we're going to literally be greedy until there's, like, a court ordinance or some junction in court that says we have to pay
this league has more money than God, and they still demand hundreds of millions of dollars from cities to pay for their arenas, for their stadiums, and every study you've seen about, oh, you know, this will create jobs, this will put money back in the community, and you realize that's a load of horseshit.
Yeah.
So, we've got a staff question here.
Oh, cool.
Christopher Tomke, shout out Christopher Tomke, things of that nature writer.
Yes, yes. Shout out Tomke, who has a great Slack avatar, by the way.
Yeah, it's Arnold Schwarzenegger, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Was it Predator?
Probably. He does talk about the movie Predator quite often.
It's a great movie. What are you guys reading these days?
Oh, boy. Chris,
How are you punting this to me? You as a teacher of America's youth should be talking about all these books you guys are reading.
Well, I mean, in 11th grade, we just got done with a unit on Mary Shelley's Frankenstein. Or the modern Prometheus. So great. That was a great read. We're about to dive into The Importance of Being Earnest in a unit on satire. It's a nice little piece of work right there as well. Nice little play.
Have you all done To Kill a Mockingbird yet?
No. That's something they handle in freshman year, believe it or
not.
It's an awful lot of reading for a freshman.
Though. Sure, sure.
So I'm sure that probably 60% of the class checks out or gets on Spark Notes.
Well,
the other thing that I'm looking forward to reading is with the seniors, we're about to start reading Death of a Salesman.
That's a good one.
Yeah, great play by Arthur Miller.
My brother acted in one of those plays for Death of a Salesman. It's very good.
Did he play Willie Loman?
I don't remember what he played. Was he Biff? I don't remember what he did.
Great play.
Great play.
Chris, what are you reading?
Well, it is an election year, as you may or may not know, Ryan Matthews.
What?
And it's involving a lot of stuff that may or may not be the death of certain parts of our political system and reorganizing it as want to happen every, like, 100 years or so. So I am actually going back and reading, and I'm a big fan of Hunter S. Thompson, who is not long from this earth. Like, I think when did he kill himself? Was it 2004 or so? 2003?
I'll take your word on it. I wouldn't know off the top of my head.
Football season ended, and he just basically shot himself. So he was a big football fan. I love all of Hunter's works. I go back and read through his page 2 ESPN.com archives all the time. Every time I can't figure out what to write, I go and watch Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. But what I'm reading right now is, because it's an election year, I'm reading Fear and Loathing on the Campaign Trail of 72. Which was, for the history buffs out there, that was McGovern Nixon. And it's him following along with the Democratic primary, and then I think after that, the general election itself. But he also talks about Nixon quite a bit, too, who, if you know anything about Hunter S. Thompson, Nixon is almost like this respected anti-hero villain to Hunter and his ways. Where it basically becomes like, he's like Hunter's foil. You know, Hunter's a very progressive man, he's a very liberal man, and he's a big football fan. Whereas Nixon, it represents this very cynical view of the world, but he's also a giant football fan too. So it's and I think Hunter even wrote of him, very famous quote, it's like, Richard Nixon has the fighting instincts of a badger surrounded by a pack of wolves or something like that. Ooh. Like it's yeah, yeah. Like it's a very fascinating read. And it's very, if you're interested in seeing how well history repeats itself, read Fear and Loathing on the Campaign Trail of 72. And you realize how very little has changed.
Did you hear that, folks? Run to your nearest Barnes and Noble. Go support your bookstores.
Hunter's work is just like that drives me. Everything yeah. I write is influenced in some way by Hunter S. Thompson and like a couple other writers. Let's move on though. Let's see here. The LPC asks, Stringer Bell, I mean Idris Elba, is playing Roland in Stephen King's Dark Tower movies. Your thoughts? Also, he adds, how good was Chris Rock's monologue at the Oscars?
So I did not watch the Oscars, but I did hear that Chris Rock, his walkout music was Fight the Power by Public Enemy. So shout out Chris Rock for doing something like that, which I'm sure the Oscars probably got on board with because they're like, wait, hold on. Isn't Public Enemy a black group?
It's Chris funny because they don't really have a lot of black stuff there. But at the same time, too, Hollywood loves to believe that that song isn't about them, that they are not the power in there.
Right.
But sure,
they're not the power, or that they can feed into the, oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. There was a lot of outrage about how the Oscars are so white this year. Chris, why don't you go ahead and do that? Go ahead.
What are you telling me to pick this up so I get called the racist?
Oh, no. I was saying
Chris Rock. Yeah. Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah.
Sure. So, but anyway, yes. Idris Elba playing Roland. I'm fine with it.
Don't know anything about Dark Tower.
You don't know anything about Dark... Decent book. I haven't read too much of it, but I know that it's a very good thing. And I'm fine with Idris Elba. I don't understand all these geeks who, like, freak out when they decide to cast a role to, like, a black guy or something. Like... I've been seeing this happen too much with Star Wars lately. People freaked out that there was a black stormtrooper in the new Star Wars, and now they're freaking out because J.J. Abrams is saying that he's going to have gay characters in the next Star Wars.
Yeah.
Like, people are too reactionary on this stuff. And speaking of Idris Elba, he might be up next if Daniel Craig decides not to play James Bond. Idris Elba might be the next James Bond.
And he's probably the best choice for James
Absolutely.
Bond out there. Like, you guys do realize that Mr. Elba has a British accent.
Yes, he's very British.
He's built like a James Bond.
Absolutely.
He can act like a James Bond.
You've seen him in Luther.
If you have not watched The Wire, you understand like how cerebral a character
Luther
Bell is.
Didn't he also play Martin Luther King in Selma?
Could have. I don't remember.
I can't remember off the top of my head either, but I'm just saying he has the acting chops to do Bond. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And I think
do you really need a ton of acting chops to play Bond?
Sure. And Roland as like a between weird worlds cowboy gunslinger? Come on. Like, I don't understand what the outrage is.
Whatever. I mean, I remember the same public outrage when J.K. Rowling, when they started up this, didn't they start something with Harry Potter on taking Harry Potter to the theater? And they decided that Hermione was going to be black. And there was huge outrage over the fact that Hermione.
Oh, yeah, she said
something
like that on Twitter. Yeah.
Right. It's like, oh, yeah, it's like, okay, all the,
like,
crazy,
why do you guys
all the
insist?
Crazy stuff. Yeah, all the crazy stuff that happens in the world of Harry Potter. And then it's like, oh, by the way, we're going to make Hermione black. And then that's the one thing that everybody just loses
their
minds about.
I love that, too, because a lot of geeks love to think they're very progressive like that. But then they will, like, you say that their favorite characters aren't going to be straight and white, and they will just lose their mind.
Yeah, it's like Invisibility Cloak. Sure, yeah, that sounds great. Hermione's black? Are you shitting me? It's like, okay.
I don't get it.
Whatever. Idris Elba, you can play any role you want.
Shout out Idris Elba.
He should be the next Batman.
He could. Actually, you know what? He should... He's not going to be Black Panther, but I would love to see, like...
No.
I don't know who's playing Black Panther, but I'm sure he's going to do great.
I don't know who the Green Lantern's going to be in the next Justice League, or in the first Justice League film, but why not him be Jon Stewart? I mean, that'd be great.
Yeah, the Black Green Lantern. Yeah, sure, absolutely. I'm all for it. You know what? Deconstruct this shit.
Word.
Let's go to Twitter for some next questions. Jeff Risden at Jeff Risden. Shout out to Jeff Risden, master of, you know, real. He writes for Real GM and Sideline Report. Great guy. What is this? What when you sing in the shower? What song is it?
This changes like weekly for me.
I'm not going to lie. I don't really sing in the shower.
Great acoustics in there. Right now, I'm singing Father Stretch My Hands Part 1 off of Life of Pablo. Specifically, Cuddy's part. It's really easy to sing. Sounds good in the shower.
Actually, I need to amend my answer. Sometimes I don't sing, but I just downloaded a mixtape. I forget the name of the producer off the top of my head, but he mixed up... He made a mashup of Sadie, I can't remember her name, is a very soulful singer, and sure. The lyrics of MF Doom.
Off of Mad Villain? Wow. Hold on.
Yeah, it's called Sade Villain.
Right. I might need
it's to it's really out. Good. The third track on there is Silver Spoon. And it is like I've been singing the refrain to that by Sade. Jezebel wasn't born. I'll save you the rest of it. But it's like, it's really good. It's incredibly haunting. And then, like, MF Doom has to be one of my favorite rappers out there. Just lyrically, yeah. One of my favorite.
I think Mad Villain's one of my top five albums of all time.
Oh, man. I first ran into him, I think it was 2004, 2005, when he teamed up with Danger Mouse and did the Danger Doom album. The Mask and the Mouse.
With Adult Swim album.
Yes, yes. That was such a good album.
Yeah, great album.
Yeah, love it. All right, let's move on here. Cookie at Cookie991 asks, favorite spirits? Got to have one to go with the beer and cocktails.
Well, Chris, while you formulate an answer to this question, I'm going to ask you a question, Cookie991. What's your favorite kind of cookie?
He says what his favorite spirits are. He says he's a fan of Honey, Jack Daniels, and DiSerono.
Both served with ice and nothing more.
I'll tell you what, if we're going high class like liqueur,
ooh.
I love Drambuie. My grandfather used to run a restaurant, and when he got when a stroke forced him to sideline from that, he had a bunch of Drambuie in his house. And being the dumbass teen that I was, I would mix like Drambuie and orange juice together and just drink that out of a solo cup. Like, sure, it's not how you should have been using Drambuie, but...
I don't think I've ever had that before.
Drambuie? Oh, it's delicious.
Nope.
No, I think my favorite spirit, if I'm mixing up anything, like, I think I use more vodka than I ever have in my life just because of all these Moscow mules. And I don't like this added, this, like, reputation vodka's got. Vodka's great.
Vodka's really good.
But at the same time, too, I'm also a big bourbon fan.
Yeah. Bourbon's good. Bourbon's fine. I'm not huge into the spirits, but...
I'll say the best, actually, you know what? Forget about bourbon. My favorite spirit, I've made this decision. If we're talking either in a drink or, like, straight up, tequila.
Yeah, like if you get some really good tequila, I mean not the garbage that a lot of people drink that they always talk about how they'll never drink tequila
fuck Cuervo.
Ever again.
Not Cuervo. Don't drink Cuervo. We're talking like
1800 or Patron or something,
or what was it? El Pollo. I can't remember the name, but either way, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, actually,
yeah.
Like tequila is the one of those drinks where I can just drink that like nonstop. Like, 5 years ago, I got a bottle of, like, Senor Frog Reposado, and, like, a fifth.
That sounds like a lot.
And I drank it all in one night.
Chris.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was fine the next morning.
Oh. See, if we ever do this POD meetup, I don't think I'll ever be able to hang with you guys.
No, but you know what? I'm not the same drinker as my brother. My brother used to have some Russian friends and would drink them under the table.
Oh, geez.
My brother, like, stole an entire fifth of my Jack Daniels and drank it half and half with Sprite over the course of, like, one night playing Metal Gear Solid 4.
Playing Metal Gear Solid 4?
Yeah, it had just come out. We were in Vancouver. I passed out because I had been working all day, and I wake up and he's still playing Metal Gear Solid 4. He's like, oh, by the way, you're out of Jack Daniels. And he drank my whole goddamn fifth.
Jeez. Oh, man. Did he ever replace it for you?
No, of course not. He's a skinflint.
Any more good questions?
We've got a couple more.
Pride of Detroit.
Let's go back to Pride Detroit here real quick. We've got a bunch of questions from Wolk M, who drops a lot of questions to us every time. Let's ask this one because you're a Michigan State man. Connor Cook, how far could Connor Cook drop in the draft? Because a lot of people aren't really talking about Connor Cook as a first-round quarterback anymore.
No, that's kind of gone off the table. And I really think it was due largely in part to the Alabama performance.
Even close to the end of the year, Michigan State, like, no one was looking at Connor Cook and saying, yeah, that's... I think it hurt that he wasn't in that Ohio State game either. Like,
no, I mean, and then again, I mean, those were injury concerns. So sure. I think you have to take all that with a grain of salt. But then again, I think you have to take Connor Cook with a grain of salt. So, I mean, I really think that maybe the lowest that you see him go, I think the furthest he drops is maybe round 3.
Yeah, third round, no later. Like, someone will snap him up. Do you think he'll start in the league? Like, will he get brought up to start within, like, 2-3 years if he, like, mentors behind someone? Or is he going to be a journeyman backup?
I really don't know because Brian Hoyer was the Houston Texans starter.
Sure. But at the same time, too, like, I'm looking at Denver, and does anyone think Brock Osweiler is going to be the future for Denver?
Is he going to go back to Denver?
Yeah, like that's the question.
Yeah, I mean, he's a free agent. I mean, why wouldn't the Rams try to throw a bunch of money at Brock Osweiler? They don't have a quarterback.
Yeah.
I mean, they might draft one. Who knows? But I think that just that kind of like frames the entire idea about Connor Cook's maybe like career arc is like I quarterbacks. I mean, there aren't a lot of good ones in the league, so maybe Connor Cook does eventually end up as like a spot starter for one season for one team. I mean, I think there's a greater chance for him to be career journeyman than he is for, drafted in the third round, groomed to be the next starting quarterback of, you know, X team. So.
Sounds good. Let's see here. Jeremy Reisman asks,
oh God,
gun to your head, you have to sign one player to the Lions. Fitzgerald, Toussaint, Devin Funchess, or Drew, wait for it, Henson.
Well, I take the gun out of your hands, Jeremy, and I point it back at you. Like Idris Elba would do if he was James Bond.
I'd probably take Funchess.
Yeah, absolutely, it would be Funchess.
Funchess actually has skill.
Is Drew Henson under 40?
Is Drew Henson still in the league?
No, he's not in the league.
No. That's what I thought.
No, you should have went and played baseball.
Oh, God. Funny you say that, because I'm a Notre Dame guy, and every time I look at Jeff Samardzija starting for... Is he still with the Cubs?
Well, no, because then he went to the White Sox. Yes, he went cross town, and then he went to the White Sox.
No, he's with the Giants right now.
Yeah, he signed this offseason with the Giants.
Right, but... Jeff Samardzija, for those who don't remember before his baseball career, he was like a
standout
really good standout wideout for Notre Dame. Like,
was he drafted in the NFL?
I don't think he did. I think he had basically said that his future was going to be baseball before then.
Yeah, but, he definitely would have been a first round draft pick.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it says here that he took his name out of the NFL draft and was going to play baseball.
Without a doubt, he would have been a first round pick.
Yeah. Like, that's probably the biggest L NFL has taken on a prospect since, like, Bo
LeBron
Jackson.
James.
No, Bo Jackson.
LeBron James could have been...
Because Bo Jackson was going to go to the NFL, you remember. And then the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, like, screwed up his NCAA eligibility and he held a grudge. And he went to play for the Royals.
Right, and then he played for the Raiders.
For the Raiders, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean... But can you imagine if LeBron James just would have played wide receiver?
Oh, man.
Or even tight end? He would be like Eric Ebron, except he wouldn't drop everything.
I mean, the tight end, by the time he was playing professional sports, he wouldn't have, like, the tight end position hadn't really evolved to what we think of it now, though, right? Yeah. Like, it hadn't really gotten there yet. Plus, also in the calculus, LeBron never went and played college at all.
Exactly.
Like, he leapt into basketball at 18.
But could you, and just seeing how much his body had progressed from, like, going to high school to playing NBA, can you imagine if you would have been in a weight training program in college for 3 years? If
eating,
you
went to eating nonstop in college, too, to bulk up.
Yeah, if you would have went to, you know, Ohio State and he would have bulked up, he would have been, what, a 6'9"?
6'9", nice.
6'9", 265-pound wide receiver who could have ran, like, 4.45 speed or something.
Good
God. Would have been insane.
Well, all in all, I think this has been a pretty good podcast. I think we've got a couple other questions left on the table, but nothing that's really catching our appetite. But we try to get to everything we can. Like, we've got one guy here asking about Alfred Morris, a free agent signing. We're not really interested in that. We're just not. I apologize. We're just... That's not something that really, like, is on our palate.
Right. We have two running backs right now, so let's not worry about it.
And actually, Alfred Morris isn't... Yeah, Alfred Morris doesn't really... fit into the gap that needs had.
And is he better than Zach Zenner, Chris?
Actually, I'll give you one better. Should the Lions go and get Peyton Manning if he wants to keep playing football?
Oh, man.
God, Peyton Manning, bad look, man, to go out there and say, hey, I want to keep playing when everyone realizes this was when you're supposed to step away. But, okay, whatever.
Whatever. But,
I don't want to do that podcast. I don't want to do the podcast where we're sitting around saying, hey, what could the Lions get Peyton Manning? But at the same time, I don't want to also do like something where we just veer into politics either.
Yeah. The political landscape right now, you talked about
it
earlier.
Yeah. We're not going to talk too much on it, but this is the tail end of the podcast. But yeah, even mentioning it in passing gets people riled up.
Like, there isn't a single candidate that I would vote for. There is one guy, and one guy only, that I would submit a ballot for.
Who's that?
John Cena!